Emergency meeting in order. So the emergency meeting is to discuss and decide when and if a state of emergency should be declared with pending approach of Storm Irene. Proper notice has been given, and do I have a motion to excuse Mayor Pro Tem Keener?
So moved.
Second.
All favor, see what I say, aye?
Aye.
Mayor Keener is excused. David, we're going to return this over to you, but for the folks in the audience, Senator Burr, Hagan, and McIntyre's office have been in contact with us today with direct numbers if we require any assistance from them if this thing gets out of hand. Our representatives in the state here have been on the phone too, and they're ready to do anything they can to assist us in any way they can. And David has the latest update. The storm has moved a little bit. With that, David, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. This is the 2 p.m. update from the National Weather Service in Wilmington, North Carolina. Additionally, at 10 a.m. this morning, Mayor Lamuth was at the Emergency Operations Center, and myself, Kim Dugan, and the admin staff were on the phone as we talked to New Hanover County on their preparations. As of 6 a.m. tomorrow, New Hanover County will be declaring a state of emergency for the county. Commissioner Barfield and the staff passed that, and voluntary evacuations are recommended for low-lying areas. So we'll go through the presentation real quick. 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, New Hanover County forecasts track is shifted slightly to the west, which creates an increase in impact to the coastal areas. Potential for moderate coastal flooding for Pender and New Hanover counties with high tide Saturday morning. That's when the storm will come closest to Curie Beach. Tropical storm force winds will extend areas further inland across Columbus and Brunswick counties. The flash flood watch will be in effect for Bladen, Columbus, Pender, New Hanover, and Brunswick counties, and Horry and Georgetown counties in northeast South Carolina. Like I said, this is the 2 p.m. advisory. Right now it's a Category 3, or as of 2 p.m. it's still Category 3 when I looked right before this meeting. We have a tropical storm watch. The hurricane watch is north of us, so New Hanover as well as the other counties up there. The next update will be at 7 p.m. and we'll be checking that. So they moved up the wind, surge, and flooding kind of impact to moderate at this point. Because the all tracks still show it to the east of us, the eye, the tornado is not really a factor because the winds are coming from the wrong direction. And definitely for people on boats, this is a significant event with significant seas in the outlying area. Current track shows it Saturday 8 a.m. or Saturday early morning is closest point to Curie Beach, and then it passes by us. You'll see the wind start shifting around mid to early afternoon, and then about 8 p.m. it'll be well north of us, starting to accelerate out of the area. They're still calling this a high confidence track from all the models converging, but it is still a major hurricane, so there still will be a large wind field that will impact our area. And the closest approach, as I said, is Saturday morning. They do not expect the right front quadrant, which is the most dangerous portion of a hurricane, to impact southeast North Carolina. However, from this, you can see a couple of models show Wilmington. So if you look at the two left models, my illustrious father there saying that the Cape Fear, mouth of the Cape Fear, that's the leftmost model. The rest of the models are converging well to the east of us. And there is still a high, you know, it's still within the cone. That Wilmington is definitely within the cone. Tropical storm force probability. So you can see from this map, we are 60 to 70% probability of having tropical storm force winds. So we'll definitely see tropical storm force winds Saturday morning. Start early in the morning, Saturday at 1, 2 a.m. and throughout the morning hours to early afternoon, maybe 2 to 3 p.m. Hurricane probabilities to the right have increased a little bit, so now we're at the 20% to see hurricane force winds. Still, the expectation is it'll be east of us, but just a little shift and we would see hurricane force winds. They're still not expecting the eye to come near Curie Beach, but it's a very big storm. Okay, so I guess they just changed that as of whatever time this goes.
5:26, I believe.
5:26, very good. So now we have a hurricane warning for Coastal Bluff. We have a gun. From the wind squad, you can see these are sustained winds, so you see higher peak winds. Right now they're showing 68 mile an hour sustained winds. If it's tracking more to the west, you can see that purple of 80 and 91 quickly coming over into our area. So according to how it tracks, we could see higher than that. Whatever happens, we will definitely have power outages in Curie Beach based on historical events with these type of winds. So I would expect us to lose power sometime Friday night or early Saturday morning and probably not get it back until Saturday afternoon after the storm is by. That tend to track with the other three back here, Sonny and Dad. Yep. This is not a very good graphic for anyone to see, but basically it's saying the times that the winds will start and stop. This is the first time they put this one in, and it's in Zulu Tim, so you have got to do some conversions. But basically this is showing what I've been talking about, that we'll see the winds start picking up late Friday evening, significant pickup, and then by early Saturday morning into the tropical storm areas, and the tropical storm force winds just stay throughout most of the morning into the early afternoon. So, moderate wind impacts are expected, especially across parts of southeast North Carolina. Northeast South Carolina is expected to have low impacts. Potential damage to roofing, damage to mobile homes, especially if unanchored, damage to large signs and shallow rooted trees blown down. Areas with the strongest winds can expect scattered to widespread power outages. I would expect us to lose power, especially those communities with above ground power lines, which is us. The storm surge, the storm crosses or comes closest to us on an astronomical high tide, which is the worst for us. Expect to see 3 to 5 foot storm surge on top of the tides, especially in New Hanover and Pender counties. Definitely for Curie Beach, the issue will be the riggings, I think, with the scouring that's already started and that'll continue. The wave heights are projected, I think, in the next slide, but we should see 12 to 15 foot seas on the beach as you get further out there, talking in excess of 40 feet. In addition, water levels will be up into the dunes in these areas, and erosion will be significant. Tornadoes, no impact expected because of the way the storm is projected to go. Although maybe with tornadoes, we saw one just a few weeks ago in Carolina, so who knows. Mm-hmm. Then flooding, moderate impacts primarily for coastal southeastern North Carolina. This will have a big rain event. That's what this is showing. So right now it's showing, according to where you want to project it, between 6 to 8 inches of rain. And it could be higher in local amounts, right? So that's a lot of rain for us to handle. We've had some problem areas in the town. But, you know, that's a lot of rain to come down in a short amount of time. 6 to 9 inches is a lot of water. River flooding, that's not a concern for Curie Beach, but it is further inland. Waukwan near Freeland may also get out of its bank. We talked about the marine issues. The surf conditions are already starting to build, so the rip currents are already out there today and will continue to get worse tomorrow, Saturday. Aviation's not expected to be a problem in the main inland hubs, but Wilmington will probably shut down sometime Friday evening and be down Saturday until late afternoon, I would guess. But as the storm moves forward, if you have aviation plans tracking over Norfolk into Washington, D.C., there could be some significant issues Sunday and Monday with flights if you've got flights somewhere else. Once it starts messing up here on the industry, the max wave height, so this is just showing the max wave height. The scale is, so blue is 8 foot to kind of calibrate you, 8 to 12 foot. That's what you see inland. As you go outside, the reds are 40 to 48 feet, and the purple is greater than 50 foot swells. So you wouldn't want to be on a boat, even a large one at sea, for this event. These are just contact information. And not really applicable to where we are. So that's all I have for the update. I think the recommendation from me would be to follow what New Hanover County's doing, and we make a declaration of state emergency 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. At least at this meeting, say a voluntary evacuation, but when we check it tomorrow morning, we may change that. And I think we probably want to have someone go, if the council will, to the Riggins and talk to the people that are staying in those two front houses. They probably should be recommended to evacuate. The great thing about this is it's America. They can elect to stay, but we should at least tell them they should get out.
That's what I was going to ask Andy and Harold. You and Sonny and Dennis are all saw the hit that the Riggins took in a couple storms. Andy, can we actually zero them out and ask them to leave?
No. They want to stay, they can stay, but then you just warn them that they're on their own.
But should this be something that we actually give them in writing, or should we just ask Dennis and guys to knock on the doors? I mean, how far should we push trying to let them know that we think they should leave?
Warn them. That's it. Warn them.
Okay. And the Riggins, John, you said that the sand was already leaving down there, and this is called lunar high tide 2, I think it was, David. So I strongly recommend that we tell them their best interest if they left the two front units. And we have a declaration of the state of emergency in front of us. David, you want to read it? You want me to read it?
I can.
Pretty much falls in line with the county that's issued this morning, Dave, if you will.
Yes, sir. Whereas the state of North Carolina and the county of Dune Arbor has determined that a state of emergency is defined in General Statute 14-288 and the state of threatened disaster is defined in General Statute 166A-4 exists. The town of Kyrgyz, North Carolina, due to the approach and proximity of the storm named Irene, and whereas the current forecast condition for Irene will impact Cherry Beach with significant rain and gusting winds, high winds, on Friday, August 26, 2011, a state of emergency has been declared in the town of Cherry Beach beginning at 6 a.m. on Friday, August 26, 2011. Now, therefore, the town council of the town of Cherry Beach, North Carolina, meeting an emergency session, does hereby proclaim the existence of a state of emergency and threatened disaster in the town of Cherry Beach, and hereby orders all Cherry Beach officials and agencies to cooperate in the implementation of the provision of this declaration and the provision of the New Hanover County Emergency Operations Plan and the Cherry Beach Emergency Operations Plan beginning 6 a.m. on Friday, August 26, 2011. Declare this the 25th day of August 2011.
Jim?
Officer Cassell, I'll take the motion to accept this.
Well, before we do this, if y'all don't mind, I'd like Harold, Sonny, and Dennis's input if we should make this any stronger.
No, I don't think you. I think you're good. In the morning, they'll tell us. They're gonna nail it down tomorrow where it's going. We've got to do the state of emergency for FEMA purposes,
right,
and whatnot anyway. That's pre-gone conclusion, and we're all here at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'll look at it and call you if we think there needs to be a change. That's my opinion. Sonny?
Yeah, I think we'll know more tomorrow morning. I'm afraid that what I've been watching, and I think what Harold said, is I'm afraid that we're going to probably go to a mandatory sometime tomorrow, but we got to keep a time frame open on that, because we've got to give the people enough time to get out. So it's kind of, this one's kind of going to be iffy. You know, it's going to be down to the, it's like we said earlier, you know, it's going to be tight. There's going to be a lot of pucker going on tomorrow afternoon. So
would it be, David, chime in here, would it be your recommendation that we schedule another emergency meeting tomorrow morning at, give me your time, y'all.
7 a.m.
At 7 a.m., do it now, so we'll meet the time line criteria. Emily, will you be available?
Or we could continue this.
Well, I think we have to.
Once you declare it, you don't have to schedule one. Once you enact that at 6 a.m., whoever the incident commander is, whether it's me or one of the department heads or Jim Dugan, that person can change it from a voluntary to a mandatory.
Well, that answers a lot of the questions.
Right. So that person has the authority from council, once you declare a state of emergency, to meet with the department heads and to enact that, and then to communicate that to through the town clerk to however we do that, Rick.
Well, with that being said, we have any more discussion on the declaration of emergency?
Do we have to appoint someone now as that commander?
No, David is the commander.
Yeah, so you have five that you've appointed in the plan. At 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, when we assume a state of emergency, I will start and then we'll turn it over so there'll be someone awake in town. I will go up to the Emergency Operations Center tomorrow at noon with Tony, and so Jim or one of the department heads will be acting with someone in town. It'll be a turnover from person to person throughout the entire time until we are clear of the state of emergency. And the town clerk will know who that is.
With that being said, do I have a motion to enforce the declaration of the state of emergency?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Anything else we need to discuss, David?
Just a question. Since this is going to kick in at 6 o'clock, what's your pleasure as far as notification of townspeople?
Nancy, can you do a press release?
Yeah, I think it'd be the same that we had before, so I'd use the electronic mailing list saying it starts at 6 a.m.
Maybe the 11 o'clock news.
That's right. I'm surprised they're not here because we told them about it, so I informed both TV outlets so they can put on the 11 o'clock news, right?
What about our fire and police notification?
Since it's a voluntary evacuation, I don't know that we would send them around for that.
It may change.
I mean, we should put it on the sign that we have out there for people coming and going in town. But between that, the news, and the email distribution list, I think that's probably all I'd recommend now. Sure. If we change it to mandatory, then the fire department will go around.
The email distribution list, that's going to take a while, but can you alert the news folks as soon as you can?
Let me clarify, do we want to wait until 7? Are you going to make a determination at 7 as to whether it's mandatory or not?
Right now it's voluntary.
Right.
To be in line with county. If it changes tomorrow morning, then we'll do something different. I mean, if it becomes mandatory, our plan says the police and fire department go door to door to inform the citizens. So that's what they'll do.
Standard protocol.
Okay.
Anything else? Anybody out there have anything to say? Let's go now. We're getting ready to adjourn.
Yeah, just for council's knowledge, the EOC will start up at 12 noon tomorrow. We will have a representative from the town there. Tony will start off, and then we'll cycle through people until we're through the event.
Hopefully the skylight will cave in again.
Yeah, hope not. Yeah.
For the parking lot.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question about the, what time do you think? Depending upon the wind factors and everything, if there's going to be some type of bridge closing. That's the main thing people are asking right now.
Saturday, my guess from the information we have now, would be Saturday morning. Sometimes 45 mile an hour sustained winds. So I would guess with one hour out, 2 or 3 in the morning, Saturday morning, and it'll probably stay closed until,
so we're okay for tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think unless it really speeds up tonight, tomorrow afternoon is fine.
Right.
So people have plenty of time to leave during the daylight if we change that. Yeah.
The highway patrol will be in charge of the bridge, and Dennis has their numbers, so I'm sure they'll contact Dennis, Harold, David, and let them know they've got the emergency center, let them know what's going on. That was a highlight of some of the news coverage today at the emergency center, was the bridge.
So has that changed from?
I don't know, because I think we'll have representatives up here.
Yeah, those things expect to be represented. They can bring highway patrolmen in from Nashville and everywhere else.
Dennis, the last time we had, well, we haven't had big ones for about 13 years, but the last strongest one that we had when I was up there, although the highway patrol was responsible for that, they told us that the Carolina Beach people and me that there's no way they were going up there to test the wind, that if we wanted to declare it, we could, but they weren't going to go anywhere near the bridge.
Yeah.
So, and that's an ongoing battle every time we go up there.
Yeah.
Well, I made it clear today when it got to the point that the emergency personnel in danger, they pulled them all off the bridge too. Yeah. You're on your own. Yes, sir.
If we do evacuate, what's your best guess on when the bridge will be open when we come back onto the island?
Saturday, late morning or early afternoon, well, when the winds are down.
Yeah, they'll
I mean, as long as it's not damaged, as soon as the wind. It's all based on your car getting blown off the bridge. That's why they want to close it, right? So it's in your best interest not to drive over it without wind.
If we have some down power lines, or if there's a danger to the general public, they'll not let you over until all that's taken care of. Yes, Gilbert.
I know it's hard, but the motel owners need to be aware, because I was kind of laid back until I heard about the bridge closing. It is difficult to run your guests off, but it is important to do it. So I've known some people in the past that hold on to the checks and gamble with stuff like that. But I know it's a tough call.
Yeah, well,
I'm on a
motel owners can evacuate their guests at any time. I mean, they're not residents. They're not property owners. They're hotel guests, I would think. So we'll leave that up to discretion of the hotel owners.
Yeah,
they will take their liability for that.
Yeah, I won't run mine off for them.
Well, as long as it's voluntary, you can. As soon as it's a mandatory evacuation, non-residents have to leave.
Yeah,
if they're not property owners, they have to leave.
Okay.
On a mandatory evacuation.
Yeah. Anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Sir.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. We adjourn.